Deli's Westport Inn proudly presents The Royal Man Report, brought to you by Kings of Coffee, featuring Mike Engel, KC Royal Man, and producer Aaron Gnerk. Check us out every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. at royalmanreport.com. Follow us on Twitter at Royal Man Report. Download the Stitcher radio app to your BlackBerry, iPhone, or Android device. Opening music and breaks provided to you by 49 Stones, www.49stones.net. Check them out. And now, the Royal Man Report.
And welcome into the Royal Man Report. I am KC Royal Man with a jammin' new open. I hope you guys all enjoy it. That's from 49 Stones, one of the two official new bands of the Royal Man Report, 49stones.net. Super happy to have them on board and have the new open and all that good stuff. Welcome in to the Royal Man Report. I am KC Royal Man. Of course, I'm joined by Mike Engel. How you doing, Mike?
I'm pretty good. It's been a pretty crazy weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's been pretty busy, I think, for all of us between real life getting in the way for me and fantasy football getting in the way for you. So
damn real life.
Yeah, I know, right? It's just awful.
Thank God for fantasy football.
Yeah, it's about that time of year. So
yeah.
It is still baseball season, and we're still doing a baseball podcast up in here for you. It was kind of funny. Our good friend Rex Miller, also known as Ross Martin or PC Bearcat, as you may know him, made a remark about how it's so funny that we get so mad as Royals fans when we lose a game and they don't matter at this point. I mean, they really don't.
There's no coming back. I mean, we're not going to make – even if we won – I mean, what would our record be if we won every single game the rest of the way? There's, what, 30 games left? We'd barely clear 500.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still good, but it's just one of those things where it's – you know, I mean, it's very – baseball's a difficult game to win, and to do that – consistently takes time,
and you know, and that's it would be awesome for me because then you and Brian would have to wear tights, but that's not looking too good for this year, so that bet looks like it's gonna fall off the table.
Darn.
Yeah, I know you're horribly upset about
I
that.
I really am.
So little recap of last week. We rolled out the new format, and you and Mr. Fake Ned executed it perfectly, and I'd like to thank you for that because I was off calling the championship of Dead Girl Derby. And we had a fantastic championship, kind of had the underdog win it all, so that was kind of fun. And real good showing from people out there and a good show here. Clint Scholes joined you guys, and he was really good. Great minor league knowledge.
Yeah, they do a great job at Pine Tar Press. I mean, I can't say enough about the stuff that they dig pretty deep there. And, you know, I personally just don't have the time to get that big into the minor leagues. I focus mostly on the majors, but Clint and Greg Schaum and the rest of the crew over there, they are on top of a lot of that stuff. So, you know, I'm really happy that Clint was able to come on and talk to us and share his knowledge. And he gets out to a lot of games, and he was calling us from the road coming back from watching a Kane County game. So,
well, and the great thing about Pine Tar Press is when we team up with them, we don't feel like we're hurting Kings of Kaufman in any way because it's like you're saying, there's not enough time on this planet for somebody to successfully cover the minor leagues and the major leagues. I mean, even if you look at the pros, like on ESPN, they have guys that are devoted to minor league coverage, and they have guys devoted to major league coverage. You can't do both. So we're really appreciative to have the Pine Tar Press guys. And just a reminder, for those of you that really do like Pine Tar Press, we're going to have their year-end award show right here on the Royal Man Report sometime in September. So that's coming. I'm not sure if it's going to be by phone with Greg Schaum or if he's going to pop in studio and grace us with his presence.
He should come in, but whatever works for him. I mean,
but whatever works, because he's got a wife and a kid, and that does get in the way of having fun with baseball podcasts at times. If you're in the chat room, speak up. We're of course live on RoyalManReport.com, which you heard in the new open every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. You can hear our show. You guys did mention last week that I auditioned. Well, both I and Chris Kamler, Fake Ned Jost, auditioned for the big gig.
Mm-hmm.
Did not get into the top 10. Made a half a second in the outtakes.
Well, that's something. I mean, at least you're notable.
They got the "Are you kidding me?" that I said, and I think that was kind of taking a little shot at some of the other people that were involved. I did better than some of the outtakes, but I didn't put my best minute out there. I knew that when I walked out the door. Didn't sound like Chris did his best stuff either. I think we do great stuff here, and you know, I was on with the Big Dumb Fun Show last week. and for a minute or two, and we actually talked about that, that I'm really proud of what we do here at the Royal Man Report, and I know that's kind of like patting yourself on the back, but I don't care, because I think what we do here is a lot of work, and it takes three really good people to pull this off, and I am so grateful to have the studio and have Gnerk producing it and have you as my co-host, and I love what we do here. Doing the big gig would have been a great opportunity for me in potentially getting this show as it is into, you know, the live airwaves of 610 or 810, you know, even if we could do it from here and broadcast it out to them and have it a little bigger audience. But what we do at the Royal Man Report is something that we have built from nothing up. And we were just talking, we're just a couple episodes away from episode 25, and that's going to be a big episode for us. It's a nice like landmark in our success of getting the show. Of course, we're sponsored by Kelly's Westport Inn now. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that no other podcast that I listen to that I can think of that has that kind of backing, that has somebody in town that cares enough about them. So we're real excited. Check out BigDumbFunShow.com, and I'm in there somewhere from last week. They have a stream that just rolls, and you can catch different parts of their show. They're very, very funny. I did mention that we do have two official bands, 49 Stones at 49stones.net, and you can find them. We found them due to the Big Dumb Fun Show, and you can find them at 49stones.net. Went out and saw them yesterday play a live show, talked to Emma Jo, their lead singer, for a while, and the rest of the guys there, and they are all fantastic. And it's been a great run with them, and we'll definitely look into that. It's going to be great to have them around. And then Flanagan's Right Hook, who is commonly playing at Kelly's, our Kelly's Westport Inn, our sponsor. When you get to the ads, you'll hear their music as the underlays for the ads. A lot of the music's gone from breaks. We've got more content. We're going to continue with that this week. I didn't do the Chiefs Minute because there's not a minute worth of stuff to talk about on the Chiefs, but we will get to some Chiefs talk in the fourth segment. Once they get rolling, guys, we'll have more Chiefs stuff, but you just can't talk about nothing when there is nothing.
Oh, there is something to talk about.
About how horribly awful they looked against the Rams.
Exactly. And that, before that.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they haven't really played, they haven't done anything that resembles an actual Chiefs game yet, and that's what
they've done something that resembles a practice.
Right. And they're charging people $100 to sit midfield and watch a practice, and that's insane. But we'll get to that in the fourth segment. You know, you guys talked about Moose heating up.
Yeah.
Can we officially say that he's in fuego?
I think so. It's always weird because at any moment, you know, there's always an 0-for-15 right around the corner. You know, there's always that threat. But if you look at the way he's approaching the game, he's hitting the ball really hard. And he was doing that for a few games before he started this 11-game hitting streak where he would tattoo a ball, but it would be right at somebody. A good sign that someone's about to come out of something. And then when you start getting some hits to come through, like today is a good example. He got that single into right field for the go-ahead run. That just barely got past the first baseman, and you know that's kind of what happens when you're on a roll. But he's also driving the ball better. He's going the other way a lot more. Again, you know, he's hitting the ball hard, which he wasn't doing before. He was hitting a lot of pop-ups, a lot of dribblers. Yeah, it looks really good, and it's comforting to see it when there was a very real possibility he could go the rest of the year and just kind of be at that 180 level and fizzle out for the rest of the year.
It took a little longer than we expected, or at least I expected.
Yeah.
But if you really thought that he was going to come up and hit 300 or 270, I think is what Hosmer's hitting right now.
Yeah.
If you thought he was going to have Hosmer numbers out of the gate, you were barking up the wrong tree, my friend. This guy has never come out hot,
right,
and it's always taken him a while, and now we seem to have what we expected Mike Moustakas to be. We need to see some home run power.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like the Billy Butler conversation
now. That's probably what's
now
coming next, though, because once you start, you know, you first you have to dig out of the hole, and then you can start taking off and running. So it's kind of – this is a weird analogy I just thought of. Did you ever play Mario Kart back on SNES?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. You've always got guys like, let's say Eric Hosmer is, I don't know, let's say that he's Mario.
Or Toad. Toad always had a fast start.
Like, they're always really good at that. Moustakas is a lot more like Donkey Kong or Bowser, where it takes them a while to get going, but once they go, their top speed is as good as anybody's. I know that's a weird way to look at it, but, I mean, that's kind of how it is. You know, you look at his past stints in the minors, and last year he led all of the minor leagues in home runs and RBIs. That was after missing 3 weeks, or I think it was just 2 weeks, actually, to an oblique strain, and he had a slow start.
And, of course, I always draw back to this show, and I don't have the exact timing on where it's at in the show, but the blog to the K edition or of the Royal Man Report, which is it's special edition, but I think it's like number 17, which I think threw Mike a curve. I don't think he actually expected me to number that episode, and I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so
it's all good
now. if you look at the listing, it's like episode 16 special edition, and then episode 18. But that's the special edition. Check it out. We talked to Moose in there, and we talked to both Moose and Hosmer, and Moose has such a light heart, and he really gets the game, and he's got such a good head on his shoulders that it was only a matter of time until he gets this figured out. I would not be surprised to see the guy hit 270 the rest of the way. Not in the year at 270, but hit 270
just hit that
from
clip
here on out.
For the next month.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Bruce Chen wins five in a row, 32 innings pitched, a 2.815 ERA over his last five starts. I'm a Chen homer, so I cannot speak on this in any way other than I would love to see him back next year. But do we bring Bruce Chen back?
It's really tough to say because he is getting older, but as he's gotten older, he's gotten better. The Royals really kind of need that ace at the top, the guy who can compare to Josh Beckett or CC Sabathia or someone like that. And Chen's never going to be that guy. He's a very good complement to a team like that. You know, look at someone like Jamie Moyer over the years, or someone like, I don't know, Denny Nagel, Terry Mulholland,
right.
Guys like that who can come in, be a good veteran presence.
Well, Lee Warren returns on the flip side here. We're bringing Lee back to talk to us about Omaha and their playoff run. But stay tuned. In the break, he talked about Johnny Giovitella back on episode 12. Check out what he had to say, and we'll get his opinions on it now. So Lee Warren on the other side. Until then, check out the information from Kelly's and Lee's interview about Johnny Giovitella on episode 12.
Hey Royal Man Report fans, Casey Royal Man here, and I am so excited to tell you about our new partnership with Kelly's Westport Inn at 500 Westport Road. Kelly's is one of the oldest bars in Kansas City, and it is absolutely one of my favorites. Great people, great beer prices, specials every Monday through Friday from 3 to 7. They've got the NFL Sunday ticket. It's where I'll be watching my football. It doesn't matter if you like the Chiefs or anybody else. They can turn on whatever games you want. They're all in HD. They've got discounted beer buckets on Sundays, $2 pizza slices on Sundays. Can't make it in on Sunday? They got great specials, like I said, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7. They have great specials after 9. Pizza is open until 2, Joe's Pizza. And the bar itself is open until 3 a.m. every day, Monday through Sunday. So come on out to Kelly's, where it's always a good time, great beer prices, great food, great people, and the place I want to be. Come out any Sunday after the show and catch up with me and get free Royals tickets while supplies last.
In the heart of the core of Westport, on the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania, Kelly's Westport Inn. Be there.
Johnny Giovitella, he is the hottest name in Kansas City right now because everybody seems to be over the Chris Getz experiment, and I like Chris Getz, and it seems like one day Chris Getz will do something that just makes you go, hey, he's a halfway decent baseball player, and then the next day he does something that makes you go, hey, why is he a Major League Baseball player?
Yeah.
So is Gio ready? I mean, he hasn't even been in AAA very long, but is he ready for the next step?
I don't know. I've asked around about that. I asked Rob White, who covers this team for the Omaha World Herald, about that not long ago, and he seemed to think that keeping Gio in Omaha for the rest of the season would be better just from a defensive perspective. Gio's offensive numbers are, you know, they're awesome. I mean, he's hitting over 300, his on-base percentage is up. He's even doubling. He's got 53 RBIs. Now, his thing is not so much his range defensively, but, you know, he just doesn't seem to field the ball as cleanly as he ought, and he's made more errors than anybody else on the team this year. And so, and, you know, something else to consider is that you've already got Moose up there, who you know, definitely is a defensive liability. And if you remember the days of Kiaspo, Aviles, and Butler on that infield, that was tough to watch. So I don't know. I mean, at this point, it seemed to me that, you know, Gio really needs to get his defense, you know, under control before you bring him up. But at this point, you know, the Kansas City season's lost anyway, and I don't see the point in bringing him up.
Duffy. And welcome back into the Royal Man Report. That was from episode 12 with Lee Warren. There's a little more to that interview that I meant to put on there, and I must have missed it. My bad. But definitely check out episode 12. It is available for download from kingsofkaufman.com.
Yep.
Click on the slider, and the episode title, I believe, is Fake Ned and Lee Warren, because Lee's a pretty important guy, so we give him a...
He
gets top bidding
line. He gets the nameplate. So.
So Mr. Lee Warren from OmahaBaseball360.com joins us. He's on Twitter at OmahaBaseball. Lee, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing well. We're actually having a lot of fun today, rolling out some new stuff with the show. But we're looking back to episode 12 with you, and you probably couldn't hear it, but you talked to us about Johnny Giovitella, and that you'd be really surprised that the Royals brought him up before the end of the year. and he really needed to get that defense together. Seeing what he's done since he's come up now, what he's been up here for about a month, I think, if that.
Something like that, yeah.
What do you think about Gio's performance up here compared to the way he played in Omaha?
Well, I don't get a chance to watch him as much because I'm at the ballpark watching Omaha play, but it looks to me like he's pretty much the same player. I mean, he moves really well towards first base on defense, makes some outstanding plays, and I've seen him make several in Kansas City moving toward first and struggle a little bit up the middle, but it looks like he's even got that maybe fixed up, so that's good to see.
He's had some plays where he just went, olay, right by the ball, but, I mean, overall, not too bad, and, you know, he's definitely, I don't miss Chris Getz, which we actually talked about with you. I don't know if that part was in there or not, but, you know, we were talking about how Chris Getz some days looks like this great baseball player, and other days he doesn't look at all, whereas Giovitella every day looks like a kid.
He looks like a ball player.
Yeah, getting sharp playing baseball, yeah. So it's a lot more hope for those of us that do watch the Major League team on a regular basis. But getting to what you know very well, and that is Omaha, is the magic number at this moment still 5, correct?
Let me look really quick. I think it's 4.
We might have written it down wrong, too. Okay, yeah, so we'll go with 4. So what's the atmosphere like in the new stadium with this playoff race?
Oh, it's been, you know, outstanding. Unfortunately, we've had a little bit of weather that's kept people away from the ballpark the last homestand, but the fans really seem to be engaged. They totally understand that Omaha is in it, and we've got a really good shot to get to the playoffs for the first time since 1999. Second year in the PCL was the last time that this club's went to the playoffs. So there's definitely an excitement.
I didn't realize it had been that long for Omaha since they'd been to the playoffs with the team being as good as it was last year. And I guess they missed the playoffs last year by, what, one game?
Yeah, 1 or 1.5 games. I just looked it up, and the magic number is 5. You guys are right.
It is 5. Okay. Mike does good research on this stuff, so I take his word for it. So they missed it by one game last year. What was it like last year in Rosenblatt where the stadium was going to come down, and so you wanted to get playoffs, so maybe have some of that in the stadium before they closed it, and going right up to the end before they lost it compared to this year where it's the new stadium, so you have kind of a more baseball feel in there, they say. Have you seen any difference in people's attitudes out there?
Yeah, I think so. Number one, you know, with Rosenblatt being so big, it did draw a big crowd there at the end, but it was more about the stadium than it was the team. And in this environment at Werner Park, it's just so small and intimate. And people are just engaged this year. I mean, a new park is always going to bring new people out to the park, and I think new people are good, for any sports team. And at this point, Omaha's, you know, behind the team, and they're really hoping to get this team into the playoffs.
You know, and I hope they get there, and I really want them to do well and go all the way to where's the championship plate? Is it in Oklahoma City, or where is it at?
It changes every year. Couldn't tell you.
Okay,
sure.
I had looked it up earlier, and I couldn't remember. I thought it was the same place every year. So Dayton Moore earlier this week said that it was doubtful that they would pull a lot of people for the 40-man because both Omaha and Northwest Arkansas were in first in their division. So my question to you was going to be, is there a precedent set for Kansas City pulling 40-man members from Omaha when Omaha was in a playoff race like this? But you had said that Omaha hadn't been in a playoff race like this with the exception of last year, since the second year of the PCL. So from what you've heard, of course you're not in the front office, but from what you've heard, does it sound like they're just going to leave this team alone until they're eliminated from the playoffs?
Well, they'll probably leave them alone at this point. I do expect Lorenzo Cain, you know, to go up. But I'm not good at predicting things, and you know that by now. But I'd be surprised, you know, if they pulled Cain off this roster before the playoff run was over. But he certainly is going to get a call up. Beyond that, it's kind of hit and miss. There's 10 guys on this team right now who are on the 40-man, and my guess is maybe 3 of those guys will go up, 4 at the most. So, you know, they'll probably leave it intact, but it's pretty thin now. I mean, they've almost decimated this roster, and they've left Mike Jersley in a pretty difficult position of trying to just come up with a lineup every night. So there's not much else they can do unless they were to send somebody like a Chris Getz down or something like that.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy because, I mean, over the course of the year, they've called up Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas and Johnny Giovitella and Danny Duffy and even very early Greg Holland and Lewis Coleman. So, I mean, that's almost a quarter of your team down there in Omaha, and they're still winning to their credit. But at the same time, you know, I'm sure it's a difficult balance for the front office because they've got to balance the development side, but they also want to put people on the field in Kansas City. But, you know, how is Mike Trishley handling that kind of stuff? Is it something that, you know, he's always kind of aware that at any moment Clint Robinson could be out of his lineup? Or is it, you know, does he just go in with the hope and assumption that Robinson's going to be sitting there batting third or fourth every day?
I get a chance to talk to Trishley after most games, and the other night they made six errors. Clint made two of them. Yumiko Navarro, you know, made a couple. And so there's, I mean, this team is right now defensively, they're just really stretched. You got guys playing in positions they shouldn't be playing in. Mm-hmm. But regarding Robinson, Trishley takes this attitude toward any of these guys. All of them could be gone tomorrow. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was in that clubhouse when Gio got the call. And I was there to see those two hug, Trishley and Gio hugged. And it was basically, hey, you know, wish you really well. And Trish knows his job is to prepare guys for the major leagues. You know, the average fan in Omaha, though, it's kind of hard for them to understand how you can get a team up this far, this close to getting into the playoffs, and then have to be stuck with a bunch of guys who probably wouldn't be playing otherwise. That's just the way the minor leagues are set up, though.
Yeah, yeah. And we were talking a little bit earlier about Moustakas, who played really pretty, at least decent for Omaha, not quite as well as last year, I don't think, but came up and struggled, but he's now kind of starting to turn it around. What kind of adjustments did you see last year that maybe he's doing now at the major league level? Because we're seeing him drive the ball to left field and go the other way with it, but I didn't get to see Omaha last year. So what kind of turned it around for him last year and the year before when he first made it up?
Yeah, last year, and even this year some, but last year they really, the book on him was to come inside with a fastball on him and then go away with the breaking ball, and he'd swing through the breaking pitch nearly every time. It took him quite a while to adjust. I mean, several weeks when he first came to Omaha, and he eventually caught on to that and started driving the ball to left field a lot, and eventually he started knocking those balls out of the park to left field. You know, this year, the book was a little bit different. They'd start him out with breaking stuff, and you know, so then people are on to him pretty quickly. And again, I haven't seen him much in Kansas City, but the times I've seen him, he was struggling with the breaking pitch again. And you know, so his thing is always going to be he's got to be able to hit the changeup. And if he can stay back on that, he's really good at driving the ball the opposite way. But you know, he tends to look fastball, and understandably so. But at times, he looks probably too much for it.
Yeah. And another guy down there, Mike Montgomery, has been kind of up and down. Is he working on anything in particular as far as like secondary pitches and maybe working on locating those and not worrying so much on the short-term results? Or is it something where, you know, he's got other things still to work on that are contributing to what's been kind of a disappointing minor league season this year?
Yeah, it has been a disappointing season for him. I mean, it's the same issue as when we spoke before. He has a hard time with his command. But, you know, to answer your question more specifically, he does seem to be throwing his curveball more. You know, he really has a hard time throwing that curveball for a strike right now. He's leaving it up so high that it's often out of the strike zone. I've even seen him put one over the catcher's head. And when he's going against lefties, he has a really, really hard time throwing his changeup for a strike. I don't know if it's a mental block or if it's a mechanical issue. Haven't had a chance to talk to him about that. But, you know, his breaking stuff is just all over the place. And, you know, his fastball, I don't think anybody doubts that. But he really has to figure out a way to, you know, to get control of his pitches. And he just has not been able to do that all season.
Yeah, at least there is some, you know, Kelvin Herrera is another guy I kind of made a note of that he's only been up there a little bit, but, you know, what are your thoughts on him in a limited sample? He's just been a fast riser all year, and he's continuing that success in Omaha now.
Yeah, he looks legit. I mean, he looks like Collins did last year in Omaha. You know, Herrera's got an ERA under 1 right now in 11 games. He's hit 100 on the gun multiple times. But the more impressive thing is he's not in love with that 100-mile-an-hour fastball. He's very willing to, you know, to break off a changeup or a curveball or something immediately after or before that. And that makes that 100-mile-an-hour fastball look so much faster.
Mm-hmm.
And his stuff has life. You know, it's fun to see something like that from a guy in AAA. His fastball just seems to explode. So, you know, if he can stay on track, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's looks like he's got a bright future. He's not on the 40 man right now, but
right.
It looks like he's got a great future.
Yeah, by next year, that's probably going to be a different situation. Yep. Hopefully he has a chance to make the club out of spring training if they don't make some kind of move this year, which I think is unlikely, but you never know. Real quick, we've got about a minute. We were talking about Lorenzo Cain a little bit. How's he approaching things right now where he's got that roadblock still in front of him? Is there any sign of discouragement, or is it just kind of he's going along?
Doesn't seem to be any discouragement whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a, you know, probably his best year of his career, and he's driving the ball. He's hitting 16. He's got 16 home runs. You know, he's making some great throws from the outfield, which is a little surprising. On base percentage is up, so everything is positive about him right now. And it's again another guy that you realize he's probably, you know, not going to be here that much longer. And from Omaha's perspective, you just hope he stays here through the playoff run.
Well, and that's going to take us to the break. Well, I'm hoping Herrera finds his way to the 40 man, and we get to see him at the end of September because I think he's got major league stuff. But you stay on the line with us for just a minute. I want to talk to you off the air. But everybody else, stay tuned. We've got Dayton Moore coming up in the break, and then we'll be back with more information on the other side.
Hey, Royal Man Report fans, are you ready for some football? I know I am. Kelly's Westport Inn at 500 Westport Road has everything you need for a great Sunday. The NFL Sunday ticket, HD TVs, $2 pizza slices, and discounted beer buckets so low I can't even say I'm here, and you don't even have to pay $27 to park. You can hang out downstairs where it's non-smoking, or head on up to Randall's Roof, which is temperature controlled and has smoking allowed, one of few places in Kansas City. This is the best deck in Kansas City, according to the Pitch Magazine. And it is home of the Royal Man Report Post Show. Come on out any Sunday after 9 p.m. for discounted boulevards and free Royals tickets. Just come see me, tell me you heard it on the Royal Man Report, and I've got a couple of tickets for you while supplies last. In the meanwhile, come join us September 9th as Big Ned Yost takes over Kelly's with the Big Ned Yost Royals Tweet-Up Party. And let me tell you, Ned's a crazy, crazy guy when he's been drinking. So come on out, get you a beer, and have a great time.
In the heart of the core of Westport, on the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania, Kelly's Westport Inn. Be there.
Is everybody that's on the 40-man, could they make an impact in September in just winning single games?
Probably have. We won't bring everybody up here, although there are several players that potentially are worthy of September call-ups because there's simply not enough at-bats for them or not enough opportunity for them. And therefore, we'll perhaps give them opportunities to win them all. And we haven't necessarily sat down as a group formally and decided who will come up and who won't, but there's several candidates. I mean, you can make a case for Lowe, certainly Kane, Dyson, Giovatella, Salvador Perez, Calvin Herrera. Some of these guys are on the roster, some of them aren't. But it doesn't. We've got quite a few outfielders out here now. Mitch Meyer doesn't necessarily have a chance to play a whole lot. And, to bring up two or three more outfielders when they're not going to get a chance to play doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But the important thing is that we're finally at a point in time as an organization where there's plenty of depth, and you never have enough depth. But there's enough. We're feeling much, much better about it. So,
how challenging is that part of your job? Just as far as juggling who you're going to call up when and who you're going to sit and
the ball. But I mean, it's a lot of it just takes care of itself. I mean, there's three things that have to happen before a player moves at any level. They have to have ability, they have to be performing, and there's got to be opportunity. I mean, it's the Keeler Calhoun debate, the Clint Robinson debate. They're all players that potentially could be performing at the major league level, but how do you get them on the club? You can only have 25 men, and right now we're going to 13 pitchers primarily to protect our bullpen, making sure that these young kids get through the season healthy. So there's just not enough room for them right now. So, but.
And welcome back into the Royal Man Report. Great having Lee Warren with us, man. I love having that guy on. I've had the pleasure of knowing him for a couple of years now, and again, if it wasn't for the power of Twitter, Mike, you and I wouldn't be sitting here doing this.
No.
We wouldn't know guys like Lee Warren, and we wouldn't have been able to set up with my good friend Pat, who hooked us up with Kelly's and got all that going for us, and he's in the chat room, and
people, you know, helping people.
It is, and even today I saw you. We missed him this weekend. Didn't know he was in town, but it looked like Minnesota Royal former writer.
Yeah, Gage Matthews. No, he's back actually. He was doing some. He's a PhD student in like biochemistry, so I mean he's legit. He's a legit smart guy and just loves the Royals. Great writer. He was actually back visiting, I think it was Friday and Saturday, and I was hoping, you know, we'd be able to get a chance to set something up to see him or get him in studio, but it was just such a short trip and, you know, just didn't happen. But, yeah, he was back in town, I guess, and, you know, hopefully we can get him on next time he comes around. So
we definitely want your feedback. We've been changing a lot with the show, and there's more to come. I mean, this is just – we've only been – like we were talking about, we're just coming up on episode 25, and, you know, we get excited because we're saying we've made it to episode 25, you know, and the show's been successful. And you look back at it, and you go, man, 25, that's not very many episodes. And we've really started to get some stuff together for you folks, and we're getting more. And I'm starting to put together some connections that we need to make this a very one-of-a-kind podcast and live show for you. And it's going to continue to get good. And let us know what you like. If you like the changes we've made, let us know. You know, if you like going to Kelly's for a beer, let us know. If you'd never been there before and you went because you heard it on the Royal Man Report, we want to know that. And more importantly, let Kelly's know that when you're
Kelly's
out there.
Kelly's wants to know it too.
Yeah, because they're definitely helping us out, and we hope that they stay on with us for a very long time. It's been great so far. So if you're watching on the live stream, you can see our awesome new banner behind me for Kelly's Westport Inn, and of course they're at kellyswestportinn.com. Yes.
Maybe move out of the way a little bit.
I'm trying, man. I got a big old noggin. I can't get my head around
lean
it.
Lean this way.
I'm
get that gangsta lean on, Troy. Come on. There you go. Oh boy.
So anyways,
what are we doing here?
If you're not watching live, you're missing out. And if you're not watching live, check out livestream.com. During the week, you can go to livestream.com/royalmanreport, or I believe you can even go to royalmanreport.com, and the clip should be down in the bottom. You might see a little reload bar. Just click that, and you'll see all of our clips.
Should be up there.
So we're down there. But anyways, back to the action at hand, since that's what you're here to listen to. Bullpen issues, you know, it's the same old story week after week after week, it seems like.
It's been rough because I wonder to what extent the Royals are running into a problem of fatigue, because you look at how often the bullpen has been asked to go 4 innings, 5 innings sometimes, and it's been with regularity from the start of the year to now. You know, you see Aaron Crow starting to struggle, and he's been rough since the middle of July. Tim Collins has been walking people all year, and you know, even though he can strike people out and he's got pretty good stuff, it's still the command and control isn't there. And now you kind of start to see Lewis Coleman is getting hit a little bit. So, you know, I wonder if there's some fatigue going on where these guys are just overworked and, you know, they're starting to get exposed, because all of these guys are rookies pretty much. Everybody in the bullpen except Joaquin Soria and, you know, Greg Holland got a little bit of time in the majors last year. But otherwise, Blake Wood, I guess, is another one who had some time last year. I mean, these guys have one, maybe, if that, year of experience in the majors, other than Soria. And even Soria has been having some trouble.
Well, and, you know, we talked to Lee about that. The entire Omaha pitching staff is in Kansas City. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, like, we left them Jeff Suppan. They had Jeff Suppan to start the year, and we left him there.
Yeah.
Which is a surprise to everybody that's a Royals fan, that we actually left the 37-year-old in AAA.
Yeah, I think there are some people that were surprised that he wasn't up in, like, May.
But the funny thing was, going back to that interview with Dayton Moore, which was from Blog to the K, again, you can get that on kingsofkaufman.com, royalmanreport.com. You can find that on our special edition. And that's about, if you want to hear the rest of that interview where he talks about bringing guys up and what he thinks of guys like Lowe and other guys like that, it's about 1 hour and 6 minutes into the special edition. You can find that. But he talked about having a 13 men in the bullpen because you don't want to wear out these young arms. And we all thought they were ridiculous having this many out there. But it's either poor management, which I'm sure if Brandon Indepmo was on with us, he would say it was that.
Some just weird decisions by Ned Yost. The popular phrase is the magic 8-ball bullpen, where it's kind of like shake it up and see what pops up. And that's when you get Blake Wood in Tampa in the bottom of the ninth and weird stuff like that.
I mean, Bob McClure has what? His wife's pregnant with twins or triplets or something. I mean, that guy's obviously has other things on his mind. Maybe he's just not quite focused on the bullpen or not. I'm just kidding, Holty. Don't take back our permissions to come to Blog in the K in the future. Yeah. No, and McClure says there's a new approach for Soria this spring, and and what have you. And I don't know. I don't want to change too much with Soria, but he doesn't seem like he's the pitcher he once was. But he's also living the normal lifespan of a closer. There's very few closers that are the Hoffmans or Papelbons or you know, those guys that have just been lights out for years and years and years. You know, it's just it's crazy to think that, but I mean it's the truth. Look at Gagne. He
had an incredible 2-year
run, record.
And you know, right after was walking people, getting hit and getting pounded, and eventually, you know, he's not in baseball anymore. You know, it's tough because even Jonathan Papelbon has had a lot of success, but he is someone who's run into some rough patches of his own. So there was an article in the Star today where McClure is kind of hearkening back to 2007, where the Royals first had Joaquin Soria in camp, and they had him working as a starter. So he would pitch in the same kind of schedule as the starters would. He'd get 2 to 4 innings of work progressively as spring went along. You know, that allowed him a chance to get enough work on his other pitches because he's got a fastball. He's got that curveball, of course, but he also has a little bit of a cutter. He's got a changeup. So he's got more pitches than what you usually see in a closer, and maybe over the years he just hasn't worked on them enough because he's only working one inning stints in spring. And that's kind of the idea of what McClure's approach is and seeing if that will improve things. But, you know, Soria is only 27. It's tough to say that he's burnt out already because he's not really a maximum effort guy. But at the same time, you know, talent can leave at any point. Look at Rick Ankiel. He looked like a top pitching prospect, and then all of a sudden couldn't throw strikes anymore. And then
he looked like a top hitter, and he didn't quite seem to get that right either. And he's not a bad baseball player. I don't take anything from Rick Ankiel. He's a jerk, but he's not a bad baseball player. So
he's got that going for him.
Right, which I think that's part of the problem with Soria is he's so likable.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, he's learned English. I believe he's gotten his citizenship since coming here. He's done a lot of things that people in Kansas City can really admire, and that's what's hard about the fact that we should have traded him when we traded Greinke. He should have been gone right there too because we had max value for him at that point, and I'm not sure Soria ever gets back to that kind of value. And you know, and you look at guys like Papelbon and stuff, and they may not even be as good as they are if they didn't play for Boston and have Murderer's Row with them. You know, there's a lot to be said for that too.
And he has the opportunity to be a guy in that situation where Boston can go out and sign top-level setup guys. They can sign starters who keep the game within range. You know, if Papelbon's on the Marlins, is he going to have that big
right,
impact?
That's what I'm saying.
Who knows? I mean, you know, but that's, you know, the Royals are kind of in the situation where they have to take the personnel they have and fit them in. And, you know, I think Soria still has that in him. It's just, you know, it's just not working this year.
If you're not part of the Twitterverse and follow along during the games and just see all the heartbreak that goes on, you're missing out because I swear Double Sticks is gonna lose an artery to this bullpen because every game, whoever blows it, he's like, that is the worst pitching performance from that person I've ever seen.
What's gonna happen when we're actually in a playoff race?
I mean, and there's 5,000
every loss
on there.
Is gonna be painful,
right? And I mean, it's just cool to be as diehard as we are. We were talking about that off the air. I've been talking about that with friends and people that aren't Royals fans and talking about how a lot of their fan, you know, I got a buddy that's a Mets fan and they don't really have that kind of fandom up there. And I mean, even the Yankees don't have that hardcoreness that the Royals have. We've been through a lot together, guys, and hang in there. The good stuff's coming. But Dave Darvey, 46, mentioned that he doesn't like Adcock being stored, but of course we took him in the special draft, and we've got to keep him on the 25-man roster. But I think in the long run, we're going to look back, and that's going to be a great move in a year when we weren't going to do much anyways, and I don't think it's going to matter. If he sucks next year, he'll be in double A or single A.
Yeah, I mean, we can do whatever. He'll probably be double A and then move up to triple A at some point, but yeah, they can do whatever with him once he gets through that first year. It's kind of like Andy Sisco a long time ago, like 2004, 2005. The Royals had him on the roster as a Rule 5 pick all year. And then, you know, as he had struggles, they were able to move him into the minor leagues and things like that. So
right, and I'm not a big league manager. You know, I can't say for sure that they're using him correctly or incorrectly. But there's been a lot of positions where I thought they could have used Adcock instead of other people.
Yeah, like why not? I mean, he's got to learn it At some point.
If he's supposed to be your long reliever, then every, you know, at least once a week when you got a guy that comes out in the sixth inning, which was happening a lot with the original pitching staff we had here, you were seeing it a lot from Chen or the one that shall remain unnamed. You know, you were seeing him go out after six innings and five runs. That would be a great time to bring him in. And, you know, Darby was just making the point that's why a lot of these guys are overworked. And
yeah, if they used Adcock a lot more, I mean,
it would be totally different. And I don't know what his love affair is with throwing Tim Collins out there every day. I know Collins doesn't have the most innings pitched from the relievers, but he's out there a lot.
Far and away the most appearances.
He's got to be. And I don't have that for sure on top, but he's got to be pretty close. But, you know, the free agent market is not going to produce a huge front line of pitching prospects. It's just not going to happen. We're going to have to be looking to guys like Bruce Chen or Jeff Francis for another year, possibly, if our guys coming up don't work out. But, you know, Dayton has said that he's willing to trade prospects for a big pitcher. But, guys, look what it took for Cleveland to get Ubaldo Jimenez. And Ubaldo Jimenez is not a number one. And if you think Ubaldo Jimenez is a number one off of 1 year of pitching, I've got some lakeshore property for you or some oceanfront property in Nebraska for you, because I don't think that guy's the number one, and they paid a king's ransom for him.
They're two top pitching prospects.
I mean, that was a lot. And we talked to Dayton about that in that special edition episode of Blog to the K, so you can hear his opinions on that. But, you know, we might make a trade. We'll see what happens. But we are going to be back on the other side to wrap this up here. We've got to talk about a little bit of college. I'm going to go back around with the Fan Fest, and we're going to do a little bit of pro talk as well. We'll be right back.
Come join the internet party of the century. Fake Ned Yost and the Royal Man Report crew presents Fake Ned Takes Over Kelly's Westport Inn, September 9th, starting at 8 p.m. Kelly's Westport Inn, in the heart of the core of Westport, on the corner of Westport Road in Pennsylvania, is always awesome for live music Fridays and Saturdays, but September 9th, official Royal Man Report band Flanagan's Right Hook will be playing live at Kelly's. Join Fake Ned and the rest of us for Flanagan's Right Hook and great beverages at Kelly's Westport Inn, September 9th. Get in before 9 and pay no cover. After 9, it's just $4. You like what you're hearing? Check out FlanagansRightHook.com for more information on their music and where you can see them play. They are a favorite of Kelly's Westport Inn. Check them out many, many times at Kelly's, including September 2nd and September 9th. In the heart of the core of Westport, on the corner of Westport Road in Pennsylvania, Kelly's Westport Inn. Be there.
Time for a Kings of Kauffman update. The race for 20 homers is on between Alex Gordon, Melky Cabrera, Jeff Francoeur, and of course, Country Breakfast. This week on Kings of Kauffman, you can look at the power numbers from these key members of the Royals lineup and see who's on pace to reach 20. Also, we're all fans at Kings of Kauffman, and Brett Christie drills that point home this week with a look at how baseball and fandom can be a welcome distraction from the real world. Gage Matthews is back and dubbed Felipe Paulino the best starter since Zach Greinke, for better or for worse. And Wally Fish is digging into the catching prospects in the Royal system from top to bottom with his weekly series, Fish on the Farm. And if you haven't read about how Ethan Evans stalked George Brett on a visit to the Plaza, well, why not? Check back later this week for an argument for Alex Gordon's Gold Glove cause, a discussion of Sal Perez's debut in relation to other young backstops, and of course, if any news breaks, we'll be there to weigh in. Kings of Kauffman features new content throughout the week, so stop on by for the latest commentary and analysis. Leave a comment, talk to us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and of course, check back every Sunday for the latest episode of the Royal Man Report. And now, back to the show.
Stuck in a little bit of music there from the beautiful Emma Jo singing for 49 Stones, of course, the official band of the Royal Man Report. Like I said, saw them on Saturday. They're super excited to be part of this, so I You got to go see their website. You got to go see them in concert. Let them know that you found out about them because of the Royal Man Report. Great local music in Kansas City. I spent a lot of time in Denver for 7 years through my first run at college, and they have a great underground music scene. And definitely check out your local music here because it makes a difference. And those are the people that you want to make it, because it's always nice to be able to say, I remember when that band was 20 years old and had four people at a concert and I was one of them, and now they're selling out the Sprint Center. So I,
awesome.
You know, and we were telling her about that, and I'm going to go off this little story and then we're going to get back on business. But I saw a concert one time. I went to a concert in Denver that was headlined by Bowling for Soup, which has about three or four hits. Their opening acts were a band called Army of Freshmen, which is a great band that never made it or hasn't made it yet. Anne Berlin, who's had a couple of good hits, and Plain White Tees, of course, Hey There, Delilah. Those four bands on one billing. And I always thought that was such a neat show when I look back on it, because nobody knew who Anne Berlin and Plain White Tees were at the time. And it, like 1,500 people knew who Bowling for Soup was in the Denver area. So it's kind of fun. And that those aren't local artists by any means, but just check out your small band music.
That's how it starts.
Yeah, and you'll never know what you'll find. And they're a heck of a lot cheaper than paying $30-$40 to go to the Midland or going to Sprint Center. And you can go see these guys. Gnerk and I went to the same show. I left early. He got there late. We both paid, you know, $10 to $12 to get into it, and it's great music. And you know, the Big Dumb Fun Show brings a lot of this local music onto their show, and it's a great chance to see it. But yeah, you know, nothing quite like it. And I know Gnerk really enjoys that kind of stuff too. So it's definitely different than anywhere else.
It's a great opportunity for myself. I do play a little guitar, but just to meet these a lot of them younger than me, not a lot of seniors rocking out. But, you know, and getting to meet these kids, and they're great, and they're really talented musicians, and getting to play their music and kind of turn other people on to that there's not much better job in the world.
Right. And the great thing about, and, you know, you're talking about them not being as old as you, 49 Stones, Mike, you're going to enjoy this. Every one of them, all four of them, and their significant others that were there, mm-hmm. had the big black X's on their hands.
Oh,
you know
my.
What the big black X's mean.
Wow.
We haven't had the big black X's in a while. Let's just put it that way, okay?
No.
Neither of us have, and you're quite a bit younger than I am. But anyways, back to business here.
I might be older than you, actually.
No, you're only...
When's your birthday?
I'm October 8th, but you're only 20... I didn't think you were 30 yet.
Yeah, I turned 30 in September.
Oh, well...
Or 31 in September.
Wow. I didn't realize you were older than me.
Yeah.
Well, kudos to that there, friend.
Yeah, I made it this far.
So, anyways, first off, great job by Mike on the new Kings of Kaufman promo. Go check out all of the stuff out at Kings of Kaufman. And Mike worked hard on that, and he's been kicking...
I hate the sound of my own voice.
He has to take his headphones
off. I'm surprised that I'm actually doing this podcast and that I've been doing it for the whole run, because I don't like my voice. I don't.
But
and you know, if people out there do, well, hey, good for you. But
anybody that hangs around with me on a regular basis doesn't like the sound of my voice either. But,
no,
but for whatever reason, all these people listen to us, so we must be doing something right.
Right.
Clint Robinson is red hot in the minor leagues. Kane's still hitting, and Myers is heating up, and all those guys are headed into a playoff run.
Yeah.
How exciting is that for the minor league system?
Man, I had an article earlier. I think it was Friday. Where Clint Robinson's July numbers, he hit about .245, you know, which is pretty rough considering he was an all-star at the break in Omaha. But this month in August, we got his numbers pulled up here. This August, he has hit .418. He's slugging .670. His OPS is 1.151. Over his last 10 games, he's got three homers, hitting .474 with a 1.366 OPS. I mean, that's ridiculous. The other night, he went 2-for-5, and his batting average went down. That's how good he's hit this month. So, which is really good to see, because, you know, I kind of had an idea maybe people had figured something out. He's always been a guy who people are kind of suspect that he's going to be able to continue his success because he was a 25th round draft pick. You know, he's always been kind of a slow riser. He's going to be, I think, 26. He's 26 now. He'll be 27 in spring training next year and hasn't seen the major leagues yet. So it's tough to count on him to really be a big prospect. But the guy can hit, and that's all he's done in his minor league career is hit the ball. He's triple crown winner in the Texas League last year. You know, and that's a league where, you know, he had to surpass, you know, Mike Moustakas' numbers to that point, Eric Hosmer's, but I mean he's just a hitting machine to this point in the minors. So that's really good. Lorenzo Cain's also been as Lee Warren said earlier, he's been having a great year. And, you know, I think the power is a little bit of a surprise because, you know, he's always been a guy who can make enough contact to maybe hit 10 or so a year. But he's got 16 homers. He's got 28 doubles. And he's been hitting just very well all year in Omaha. A guy who, if not for Melky Cabrera and Jeff Francoeur having great seasons in Kansas City, he'd be on this team right now.
Yeah, and it's a bad situation for Kane to be in because he would have been starting in center field in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. but because of him getting traded, he's actually – I mean, when can you ever say that Kansas City made a trade where another team's starting center fielder is our minor league center fielder and it's the right move?
Yeah. I
mean,
I don't know.
The guys that are in the outfield, if you don't like Francoeur, that's fine. If you don't like Melky, that's fine, but you're wrong. Those two guys right now are better than Lorenzo Cain. And even Greg Schaum, who, again, is our guru of the minor leagues, says that Cain is not an improvement over Cabrera. And, I mean, Cabrera really plays through some injuries and everything else, and maybe, you know, the Royals shouldn't let the players run the clubhouse, or maybe there wasn't as bad as it looked to us. But we all thought he should have went on the DL. You know, bring Dyson back up, let Meyer play or whatever. But the guy played well being hurt. He hit, like, back-to-back three-run home runs. So it's a bad situation for Kane, but he'll probably be the fourth man next year. But that's all you can say about
it. I mean, I guess it's depth, and it's always one of those good problems to have. And even this year, the Royals have been healthy all year. The only position player who's gone on the disabled list, I believe, is Matt Traynor. So there just hasn't been an opportunity for any of these guys to really jump up. You know, if Cabrera would have went on the disabled list, yeah, that would have been a possibility. But, you know, he played through it, and he's still hitting. I think he leads the team in multi-hit games. Alex Gordon's right behind him. And Gordon's had, what, three-hit games in the last week?
And Gordon's arm is just amazing.
I love Alex Gordon. Sorry, Scobie. I mean, we might have to have a fight over Alex Gordon.
You know, he's been – I had given up on him. I thought he was done, and yeah. He's just proved us all wrong this year, and he'll probably get a big contract out of it, and then maybe he'll fizzle out. Who knows? But hopefully not. Hopefully this is here to stay with him. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
So a little fish on the farm from Wally Fish.
Yeah, he's got a look at catchers in the system. He's been going up the up every level this week. He looked at the Wilmington Blue Rocks, and guys like Travis Jones has been down there, and Jose Bonilla, who's a guy who's been in the Royals organization for 3 or 4 years, I think maybe 3 years. Guys like that who are kind of down there working their way up. I mean, at one point, Salvador Perez was down there, so that's in very recent past, so... You know, these guys can always jump up out of any old spot in the minors. So he's going really in-depth on the catchers. So you want to check that out on Kings of Kaufman. That's Fish on the Farm. That's every week, every Friday. Real quick, I wanted to jump in about Will Myers, too, because he's been struggling in Double-A this year. But his last 10 games, he's hitting .353, slugging .647. Has a 1.097 OPS. So it's good to see him kind of get things back on track. Maybe he's figuring out Double-A pitching as a 20-year-old.
Yeah, you know, hopefully he can get it going because he's young and he can get there, so it's not a big deal. A couple of quick around the leagues. We didn't actually talk about this week in the Open. I missed that. We played Toronto and Cleveland, and we split the road trip so far, 3-3. So
yeah, that's not too bad.
Not too bad. We won it from Toronto, and then we lost the series to the Indians. Freaking Jim Thome gets traded. I was hoping to Philadelphia. Nope. To the Cleveland Indians, still in the division.
Yeah, you still get to see him. And
he's got to be the ultimate Royal killer, and he's like the one guy that you can't hate. I mean, you just can't hate Jim Thome. You can hate when he plays you, but you can't hate the guy. It's not like Pierzynski.
He's universally liked by just about everybody in baseball, I think. And
so if you're a bit of a baseball nostalgist, you've got to like this move because Thome being back in an Indians uniform just looks so good.
I think it's really cool because I remember back in the mid-90s seeing him, you know, just as a big refrigerator with a baseball bat in his hands. It's basically what he looks like. So, and he's kind of a cool story because I think he was a third baseman when he came up, or maybe he was even something weird like a second, but I don't know. I mean, I remember he played third base and then, you know, kept growing and went to first base and then became a DH, and you know, now he's got 600 homers, and I think he's a lock for the Hall of Fame. He's just been that guy. He's, you know, team leader, slugging guy. He's always been consistent with his power. So, yeah, he's always gotten the Royals' goat, so to speak.
He's just been amazing.
I think he's hit, what, 49 homers against the Royals in his career?
And apparently Jack Hanrahan has joined him, or Hanahan, or however you say his last name. Don't even know the guy well enough to know what his last name is, for sure.
He's done that every series. He's come up with something.
He's been on fire. So hopefully we don't see that next week, because we do play Cleveland here next week, and we still got to go to Detroit yet on this road trip, I believe. Short stint here in back home, hoping to get it out to a couple of those games. I haven't been making as many games as I did early in the season because I'm – for those of you that don't know, that don't follow me on Twitter, I'm in a show at the Alcott Art Center on 18th Street Expressway across from Jack in the Box and SunMart. It's called Shakespeare in the Parking Lot, and we've actually been picked up for parts of it by the Renaissance Festival. So if you're out at the Renaissance Festival and you hear that there's a little theater Shakespeare show, come find it. I might be out there. Say hi to me. Let me know you heard about it, and say hi. I love meeting everybody that listens to the show. So. No Fan Fest in January. That's bad, bad, bad. And like you guys talked about last week, I did. As soon as I heard about it, I went to Toby and I said, hey, man, this is not good. You know, please don't do this, because it's something special for us season ticket holders that we've always gotten a little bit of a bonus out of that deal. It produced things like the original blog at the K, which was blog at the Fan Fest, but
Digital Digest.
Yeah, Digital Digest, I guess, was what it was called.
Same thing.
But that was a great opportunity for you guys and to get a little respect for bloggers, so that was huge. So hopefully they rethink it. I think because as soon as I said it to Toby Cook, he said it's not set in stone. The idea is not set in stone right now. So let's hope that it's not set in stone. Let's hope that it's going to happen. And that's, if it doesn't, I'm going to be very upset. So if it just, the MLB Fan Fest is not the Royals Fan Fest. There's a difference. So got to have the real deal and the All-Star Game Fan Fest. We're going to get out of baseball here for a little bit here and talk about some upcoming stuff. Of course, this show was started with myself and Mike and Brian McGannon. Those were the three of us that have pretty much been here since the beginning. So I went out and I asked Brian, hey, what's your Mizzou prediction? He's got him with 2 losses at best and 4 losses at worst, which kind of surprised me on Brian, because I actually have Mizzou a little higher than that. I think their threshold is actually the national championship game. If they can go down to Oklahoma, if they can go down to Oklahoma and beat those Sooners, I think they could be national championship bound. But
God, I'll be sick to my stomach if that happens. And I'll never hear the end of it from anybody who likes Mizzou.
Well, you
just
know,
never.
Just you do what you guys have done for years and years, and remind them of all the basketball championships you have.
Well, yeah, and I don't remember what Brian said, but it was something about, I don't remember. I'd have to find it, but it's basically something about, you know, they have trouble counting because they don't have any banners to count. So.
Right. What he basically had said was, you know, that there Missouri needs to win something because they don't have anything, and they've been kicked around because of it. So,
so sad.
Dave Darby says 6-6 for KSU, and what were you thinking for KU?
You know, it's tough because we're 2 years coming out of probably the best team we've had in a long time. You know, you lose Kerry Meyer, Desmond Briscoe, Todd Reesing, guys who got us to the Orange Bowl. And, you know, we've got a new coach. It's just tough. 3 wins, maybe? I mean, it's...
That's what the star has. I have you guys at 4. I think you go into Iowa State and win there.
I don't know. I mean,
I think you beat Tech, Iowa State, in 2 of these preseason games for KU. I
hope so. We
don't
lost one of them last year.
I tell you this much. NCAA football sure likes you guys. And so if you're as good as in real life as you are on that game, you may win 9. So I don't think it'll happen that well.
Take it.
Nebraska has a chance to go to the national title if we can get past Wisconsin and Iowa, but I think we could lose both of those games. The Chiefs did not look good in preseason, lost the Governor's Cup.
No.
They have not looked good at all. In fact, Steve Breston fell out of the draft in a 16-team league I was in.
16,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so I can't believe that, but nobody believes in the Chiefs right now. Drink at Kelly's, of course. We love them so much. And check out Flanagan's Right Hook, who will be there on the 2nd, and, of course, for Ned's party on the 9th. They're at Kelly's. And then 9:17, they're at Kauffman. Walk up and said you heard about them on the Royal Man Report. They'll be out at Kauffman Stadium on the 17th. So until then, I guess this is the end for us this week. I'm Casey Royalman. I'm joined, of course, by Mike Engel and our producer, Aaron Gnerk. Mike, what do you got going out?
Come out to Kelly's. Say hi.
Yeah, we're going to be there tonight after the show and every Sunday night after the show. So come check us out. Until then, we will see you on the flip side. Keep downloading. We love you guys. Give us all your feedback at royalmanreport@gmail.com or at royalmanreport on Twitter. Catch you around. Go Royals.
See
you.
Welcome to the jungle. We're taking day by day.
Hey, Royal Man Report fans, Casey Royal Man here, and I am so excited to tell you about our new partnership with Kelly's Westport Inn at 500 Westport Road. Kelly's is one of the oldest bars in Kansas City, and it is absolutely one of my favorites. Great people, great beer prices, specials every Monday through Friday from 3 to 7. They've got the NFL Sunday ticket. It's where I'll be watching my football. It doesn't matter if you like the Chiefs or anybody else. They can turn on whatever games you want. They're all in HD. They've got discounted beer buckets on Sundays, $2 pizza slices on Sundays. Can't make it in on Sunday? They got great specials, like I said, Monday through Friday, 3 to 7. They have great specials after 9. Pizza bar in the back is open until 2, Joe's Pizza. And the bar itself is open until 3 a.m. every day, Monday through Sunday. So come on out to Kelly's, where it's always a good time, great beer prices, great food, great people, and the place I want to be. Come out any Sunday after the show and catch up with me and get free Royals tickets while supplies last.